brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of St. John Bosco. And if you don't know who St. John Bosco is, and I'm sure there are a number of you who do not, I really urge you just go on the internet, type in St. John Bosco, and look at what he did. We need John Bosco's today. Let me share with you a portion of the summary of his life. It says in Magnificat magazine, "Industrialization and rapid growth characterized life in 19th century Italy. Moved by the needs of indigent boys in the city, the young priest, John Bosco, founded the oratory. His total dedication program brought the boys together for mass, games, and nature study on Sundays. He founded night classes to give them work. With the help of his mother, he took in 6 homeless boys in 1857. By 1862, 5 years later, he was providing accommodations for 600 poor boys. He raised funds tirelessly, promoted dedication to the Sacred Heart. By the time of his death in 1888, the order he founded to continue his work, the Salesians, had 768 members. Today, it is a worldwide congregation. What one man can do, if he does it in God, with God, for God, for God's glory, what one person, man or woman, can do is beyond our understanding. Really, our goals, no matter how lofty they might be, are still very narrow compared to what God many times wants to do with us, how he wants to use us, but he will never violate our free will. So we can choose to go our own way. But if we go our own way without really placing our lives before the Creator who made us and ask him to lead us in the right direction, we stumble in the darkness, don't we? And all of us, in one way or another, have stumbled in the darkness. But even now, no matter what our age, if we turn to the Lord and say, "Lord, take what's left of my life," whatever our age may be, take what's left of my life, or maybe it's almost all of my life. Take my life, lead me in the way you want me to go so that you may be glorified. That's what John Bosco did. That's what the saints did. And you and I, small though we may be, insignificant though we may think we are, we too are called to be saints. The grace is at our disposal. If we ask for it and ask him to lead us, he will give it. O God, who raised up the priest St. John Bosco as a father and teacher of the young, grant, we pray, that aflame with the same fire of love, we may seek out souls, we may seek out others, and serve you alone. Think about it. St. John Bosco, pray for us. The first reading for today is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us. You do have to persevere, don't you? So many times you just want to give up, or at least you want to slow down. Run the race. And by that I mean, do what God asks of you, not your own ideas. Do what God asks of you. Run that race, which means you're running toward him. As St. Paul tells us, that the prize that awaits those who win the race is life on high with Christ Jesus. Why would we settle for anything less? The letter to the Hebrews continues, "Let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, not on self, not on man's idea of goals, but our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider how he endured such opposition from sinners, in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood." So come on, is the essence of what the scripture is telling us. Come on, stand up again. Even if you've fallen, even if you've fallen hard, stand up. And God will give you the grace not only to stand, but he will give you the grace to go in the right direction. And he will help you not just to hobble along the path, but to run. If you have never truly dedicated your life to Jesus Christ, in whatever state in life you're in, married, single, celibate, if you want to love him, if you only have an inkling of a desire to love him, tell him, Lord, tell him, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to run the race with you and for you. I want to bring as many souls as I can alongside of me. Even if I stumble, even if I'm crippled and I have to hobble along the racetrack, be faithful to me. And I will, in your grace, be faithful to you. That attitude, that spirit, will bring you to great holiness if you really yield to it. Psalm 22, "They will praise you, Lord, who long for you." They will praise you who long, those who long for you. It indicates where our hearts are. If I praise God every day, if I thank him every day, even if it feels like yesterday was difficult, if I still thank him for it, I will begin to see light on situations and see that many times blessings come in disguises. You want to have the eyes and ears of Christ. You want to have the understanding that the Holy Spirit desires to impart to you. But we need to come to him and say we want it and be willing to sit at his feet and learn. "I will fulfill my vows before those who fear him. The lowly shall eat their fill. They who seek the Lord shall praise him. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow down before him. To him alone shall bow down all who sleep in the earth, all those who have died. Before him shall bend all who go down into the dust. And to him my soul shall live. My descendants shall serve him. Let the coming generation be told of the Lord. Who's going to tell them if you don't? Let the coming generation be told of the Lord, that they may proclaim to a people yet to be born the justice he has shown." Brothers and sisters, what are we passing on to the next generation? It's a huge question, and we need to pay attention. And we need to ask God to give us the grace to pass on what we know to be true. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. "When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him," that is Jesus, "saying, 'My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live. He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him. They were curious. They couldn't figure him out. So a curious crowd follows. And while they're going toward this synagogue official's daughter, a woman approached, afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years, had approached him. She had suffered greatly at the hands of the many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Do you see the faith? Jairus, the synagogue official, comes and says, "Lord, please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live if you just come and touch her." Look at that faith. And he was a synagogue official. And then here's this woman who suffered for 12 years with all these hemorrhages. You can imagine her fatigue. And she too had such faith. "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." So both these people, the synagogue official and this woman afflicted with suffering, both of them showed faith by going to Jesus and ask him. How often do you ask Jesus? Many people say, it's not worth God's time. Everything is worth God's time if it affects you. You're his son or his daughter. So the gospel here goes on to say, immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" He knew power had gone from him. But his disciples said to him, because they're only seeing humanly, the disciples said, "You see how this crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask who touched me?" I mean, what a ridiculous question. There are hundreds of people trying to grab at you. What do you mean? But he knew that the power of his Father, the power that had been given to him, was flowing through him. And he knew someone had touched him in faith. And he looked around to see who had done it. And the woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. If she was suffering hemorrhages, that meant in the synagogue she was unclean. And she had reached out and touched Jesus, which would have made him ritually unclean. And that's so she approaches in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." And while he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" And the people all ridiculed Jesus because he says, "No. Why this commotion? This child is alive. She's not dead." And they ridicule him. And he goes in and touches her, and she too is healed. The moral of the story: have faith, brothers and sisters, in the God who dearly loves you. Brothers and sisters, to obtain my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That is 1-800-282-4789. Faith More Precious Than Gold. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net, and then click on Free Booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold.